This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour. Well,
give or take.
Yeah.
Más o menos.
A few minutes. Yeah. Talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden.
Or whatever they want to talk about.
Or whatever you would like to talk about if you'd like to give us a call. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hazy this morning.
Overcast.
That's what it was.
Is it supposed to rain or something? I didn't.
Semantics.
I don't know.
Well, you know, I guess if we're going to go there, I don't ever think of hazy being during the night. Hazy is when you have daylight hours and you can't see. That's all I would.
I guess you're right. Yeah, because I couldn't see any stars or anything. So I guess it's got to be clouds.
But I want to noted for the record, I was not the one questioning or doubting you on that. I was just going with it. It was
these guys
that were. I know. When I would
say
normally.
These guys, you mean George?
I would normally be the one who did it, but it was not okay.
Well, to Mark's point about rain, you're the weatherman. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
That's an excellent question. I totally agree with you.
Okay,
that's a good question. I don't know. I did not look at the forecast this week. I was just relishing the fact that it was cool last night.
It was a very nice night.
Yeah. I was in El Cajon and for one of those concert things, mm-hmm. park concert. It was pretty cool. And the weather was gorgeous. Yeah.
Well, I'm
kind of. I got to see Shotgun Tom Kelly.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah.
Radio.
Can you do the.
No, I was going to say I can't do that. Quite frankly, he didn't really do it that well last night either. He was interesting.
I hope he's not listening this morning.
Well, I doubt. Well,
I guess the good news is with the drought that we're facing in California.
Careful.
We're expecting a 1,000-year flood that's going to give us flooding over the entire state, like they had in western Kentucky.
But not in the next couple of days.
No, within the next. Was it 40 years?
I think it's 40 years.
40 years. Right. Yeah, but flooding over the entire state of California like they had back in.
Or are we going to
catch the water this time?
I don't know.
No,
is it all going
know.
To the ocean?
With 40 years, they may be able to.
When in doubt, flush it out.
Yeah. But
run it all out.
I thought that was. I mean, obviously things are changing with the climate, but I thought that was a rather bold prediction.
Bold prediction. Yeah, that's, yeah. Well.
I don't
know. Well, by the time 40 years is, or whenever, it's nobody will remember it anyway.
It'll refill Tule Lake, which was the largest freshwater lake this side of the Mississippi up in the Central Valley.
It was pretty much the entire Central Valley, wasn't it?
And they had steamboats on it. They supplied most of the freshwater fish.
I wonder if it might refill Owens Lake too.
There we go.
There.
So there's a positive. Look on the bright side.
We can bring back paddle wheelers.
Well, I did hear they're going to start using wind technology to power ships.
Yeah. What a.
There's a novel concept.
What a world we live in.
Yes.
These days.
Yes.
Yeah. I did see that, and some people were just blown away by. No pun intended, by that.
The idea
by
of
that
using
concept.
Wind to move ships.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Huh. Who would
time
have thought?
To be alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing like going backwards.
What a time to be alive.
It's the marine layer. I have been corrected.
Oh, is that what
my
it is?
My sister Cindy, yes, said it's the marine layer.
Okay.
So there's three people listening. I wonder if you know of anybody that might be.
Roxy?
Maybe.
Yeah, perhaps.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Have her call.
888-344-1170?
Exactly.
Okay.
Ask a question.
It's supposed to be more of the same this week, weather-wise.
Hot?
Hot, warm, some monsoonal moisture in the afternoons. Supposed to be drier Sunday, Monday, but then the monsoonal moisture returns.
Are they going to get a lot of rain over there in Arizona and Nevada, or Las Vegas?
Hope so.
I think it's been nice. There's been a pretty decent breeze, at least in Poway.
Well, there's a pretty good-sized chunk of Death Valley that's still closed because of the flooding that they had up there. Yeah. Uh-huh. The road into Death Valley from Beatty, Nevada, is closed because the access to the ghost town Rhyolite is shut off now. You can't get to Rhyolite, and then there's an outdoor sculpture museum in that area too that you can't access right now. I just saw that yesterday.
Wow.
If you're going to, if you're planning on going to Death Valley in the summertime, you might want to check with the park and see where you can get in and what's going on.
Does it get hot out there in the summer?
I don't know. I was kind of disappointed when I went in July with the kids and it was only 118 at Badwater. But
it's a dry heat.
But yeah. It is a dry heat. I will give you that. But there was a section of it where you could drive out onto the salt on the lake and drive out there, and it's 118, and you get out and it is blinding because it's just white, and you're standing out there with you can feel the heat reflecting off of the salt, and of course your retinas are burning, but you can hear the salt cracking. It sounds like you're standing a bowl of Rice Krispies because you can just hear it cracking in the sunlight. It's pretty impressive. I have to admit, but yeah, it was only 118 when we were there. So I think it was well below the what's the record? It's like 134 or something like that. That they recorded. It's hot.
I thought 122 was what created the Baker thermometer.
Oh. But that's not Death Valley though. That's just the Mojave Desert.
That was the gateway.
Well, it might be, but it's not in Death Valley.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, and I remember when they built the Baker thermometer in the like a few days before the, because you and I had driven to Vegas just before they dedicated it, and then they had that big windstorm like a day or two before the dedication and it blew over. Yeah. So, anyway.
Maybe the same people that built the courthouse.
Could be.
That's funny.
We've got classes in both stores today at 9 o'clock in San Diego. It's going to be water-saving techniques with James. At 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be brassicas and other fall vegetables with Farmer Roy. And I think we are expecting a call from Farmer Roy towards the bottom of the hour here on the show. So he's going to tell us more about what he's going to be talking about.
I wanted to ask George about brassicas versus cruciferous vegetables. Where
we had a conversation.
Yeah.
Why? Aren't they the same thing?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Next Saturday, the 27th. God, we're all through and August already.
No kid.
That's ridiculous.
When we get old.
In San Diego, it's going to be fall veggies with Josh. And in Poway, it's going to be vegetable seed saving with Adams is going to be doing that class. And then September 3rd,
September 3rd, weekend.
It's Labor Day weekend, and there's no classes in Poway. I'm assuming that San Diego is probably going to be dark for that weekend, but we'll keep you updated before we get to that point. And both of the stores will be open regular hours on Labor Day if you're looking for something to do on your last long weekend of the summer.
Does it have a name like the moons? I guess it's the Labor Day weekend, the last one,
the final. Last weekend? What?
The last super weekend?
Yes.
The last super weekend.
It's a super blue weekend.
Yeah. Let's see. What else have we got going on? I saw something interesting the other day, which I had never seen before, and I have no idea how it popped up on my feed because I certainly wasn't talking about it where my phone could hear it or anything.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
You can buy hornworms online.
To feed to your chickens?
Hornworms. I guess to feed to birds. but you can.
Oh, like tomato hornworm?
Yeah, like tomato hornworm. You can buy like a box of 48 hornworms.
Are they alive?
I'm assuming. But
or you can go into my garden and get a bunch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can go there.
I just thought that was.
That is, I guess you can I thought
it was weird. Yeah. That was one thing that had never occurred to me would be to.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that the hornworm market is that big. And
well, you say that, but one of our coworkers in Poway will not let us take some of them and toss them to the chickens because they believe that they want them around to pollinate their dragon fruit and other night blooming.
Hornworms?
The moth that it turns into. So some people will not destroy them or use BT around them. So the market might be larger than you think.
Yeah, it could be. That is, I don't know.
And I think we're missing an opportunity to sell them at the stores, maybe.
It's like some people bring them in to find out what they are and we can sell them.
Rather than throw them to the chickens, we should be collecting them.
I think if we replay the radio show this morning, a few minutes ago, one of you said it's a great time to be alive. How do we devolve to this?
That's what we do, Dave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so
there are people that, you know, they're very destructive, obviously, on any of the nightshade family plants. I had them destroy the purple potato bush plant.
Oh, yeah.
Had them destroy one of those. But
hornworms?
Doing you a favor there.
That's interesting because I've never seen them
17 of them on a single plant.
I've never seen them on anything except tomatoes.
Tomatoes. I've had them on eggplant. I've had them on peppers. But we had a young woman come in No. I had a young woman come in the other day and she had it in a little butterfly cage, the hornworm, and she wanted to know what it was and whether she should get rid of him. We said, yes, it's, you know, of no value. Apparently we were wrong because you can sell them, but we said we normally just feed them to the chickens. And she said, oh, I can't do that. I'd want it to become what it should be.
Well, chicken food.
Then just give it.
It is your destiny.
Then give it, buy a tomato for it to munch on, and then give it some dirt to dig into.
There we go.
And you're good to go. You know, that's funny. I remember as a kid, we used to see sphinx moths fairly frequently around, but I can't remember the last time I saw one.
They're still out and about, and they like the lantana at night. I don't know how they find it, but I see them at night cruising around on my lantana.
Feeding on the flowers
right. Nectar.
Yeah.
And when I was visiting Jim Roop a few years ago in Prescott, they were out during the day there on his
really?
On his plants. Bright daylight. They were everywhere, all over the Chitalpa?
I'll have to figure out which one it is.
Chitalpa is the cross between Chilopsis and Catalpa.
And correct. It's the shrubby one, right?
Well, they all are gross to me, but
yeah.
Anyway, it was in full bloom. It had salvia around the base, and middle of the day, there were dozens of those sphinx moths on them.
Well, a couple years ago at Poway, we had one fluttering around our tables, our butterfly tables, middle of the day.
That's because somebody
bizarre. Saved a tomato hornworm.
Could be. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. I didn't know Sammy Hagar was in town.
Yeah. I saw someone on KUSI.
Yeah.
He forgot to comb his hair. Yeah. Well, it was a couple of days ago, I think.
Sammy Hagar, he doesn't comb his hair.
Let's see. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go up the coast a little bit to San Francisco, where
a little bit.
David is waiting.
No, I'm not.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Hey, good morning. You know, I heard the news, a week or so ago, they were projecting, Weather Service was projecting some massive rainstorms down in Southern California. What are those are projected for, November, December, late this year?
I'd have to consult with our meteorologist who's busy drinking Diet Pepsi right now. But
yeah. I couldn't get my Coke Zero on sale, so I had to slum a little bit.
So have you heard that, David?
No, but if they're doing the extended forecast.
This was on it was headline news that California is expected to, is this, it's not an El Nino year, I guess it's a La Nina year?
La Nina, yeah. I think that's what they said.
I thought we usually end up drier than normal.
Somehow or another, they were projecting, massive rainstorms late this year.
No.
And so I'm concerned about erosion control. As dry as it's been, there's very little grass or any, shrubbery or anything else to hold back, the loss of topsoil to the ocean.
Right.
So I'm wondering, we've still got a couple of months to put in some kind of buffers or barriers or, obstacles to slow down the rain and, slow down any kind of
erosion.
Are there catchment basins? Some kinds of ideas that would capture topsoil, filter it before it could be lost to the ocean.
Well, there's different things that you can do. One of the things that you see fairly frequently down here, I'm not so sure how much they use it up there, is straw wattles, which is basically a tube of netting that is packed with straw, and then you go out and stake them into place along the face of different banks that are in danger of eroding, and they act as a stabilizer and dam to catch the water and the silt as it's running off and slow it down.
Yeah, they do those up here.
Yeah, so that's one of the most common ones that you see. If you're trying to plant an area and get a ground cover established and you're worried about runoff, you can also use jute netting, which is just a very coarse net that's made out of
hemp.
Yeah,
you can cover the bank with that, stake it into place, and then when you're planting, the weave of the jute netting is light enough that you can just kind of pull it apart, dig the hole for the plant and put it in, and then just kind of tuck it all back together again, and the netting will help hold the bare areas of your bank while your ground cover is rooting in over the top of it. The netting will eventually just break down and deteriorate and break down into the soil.
Sure.
And then,
you might keep an eye out for these news stories. They were talking, 10-inch rains in an afternoon or so.
Wow.
Wasn't that the 100-year flood forecast they were talking about? In the next 40 years, we're going to get
a thousand-year flood.
Right. Wasn't that what... I mean, that's what I recall seeing.
Like,
that's what we've heard, but that's within the next 40 years, not November, though, for that particular
story.
No,
they were talking about this year, and the projections are. And see, the thing is, the oceans are becoming more dead zones, and so massive storms with the dead zones in the ocean becomes stagnant and warm, and then the storms are forming over that warm water, and that's what's if I remember right, hurricanes used to be like 250 miles across. They had a massive hurricane about 5 or 7 years ago that was 2,500 miles across. That thing was so big, it shot from the Philippines straight up toward the Bering Strait in Alaska, and then it went at high speed, just crashed into that polar vortex, and knocked a chunk of cold air all across the Midwest, and it landed in Texas. And they had a massive freeze down there. This is about 7 or 8 years ago, not 2 years ago. So it's a massive hurricane in the Philippines ended up causing a cold snap in Texas that froze all of their oranges. So it, you know, this is all a result of pollution and global warming from pollution. And like I was saying, you know, this look for this news story a week or so ago, that, and they're projecting it for Southern California, not necessarily Northern.
Well.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, everybody's hoping, you know, this is going to fill up Lake Mead or, you know, some other some of the reservoirs and dams. But if these are going to be 10-inch rains in the course of a matter of hours, you know, you can have structural damage to a dam by having it filled too fast. So it, I'm just, you know, there are a lot of preparations that we need to be looking at.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they, the powers that be are,
exactly,
are
on it,
taking that to heart and taking a look at it. David, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Thanks for getting up on the weekend and listening to us, and have a great weekend up there in San Francisco. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number.
So we can take preparations, though, too. We can get our rain barrels. Because
true.
We can
catch
fill up a lot of water. Yeah. And I
10 inches
that
in an afternoon?
Well
you're not going to need your rain barrel.
Well, I'll have it for later on.
Yeah,
my rain
exactly.
barrels, plural, so I can get my 1,400 gallons in about 3 minutes.
at those kinds of precipitation levels, it won't take long at all.
On a non-gardening level, I mean, Fashion Valley is going to get flooded like crazy the case.
Because you know,
one
gonna,
drop of rain makes like roads closed to Fashion Valley and the parking garage
flood. It's crazy. I remember back in the day when we used
to think that's because it's a riverbed?
Yeah, late 70s, you can see water from one side of the valley to the other.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Unless you live down there, it'd be kind of cool to see it again.
Well, exactly. I mean, and I... Well, I'm not going to say anything.
Well, it happens.
I assume it's going to.
It happens.
Yeah.
Fairly with it. It's not unusual for it
no,
to happen.
That's
you know, Fashion Valley Road gets closed.
Oh yeah. I mean, all those golf courses. And now, I mean, I. Well,
what's
I
that waterway? That little tiny little stream that's in there.
The San Diego River.
Yeah. So it.
Yeah. Once the river will come back
sense.
As a river.
It's a floodplain. I mean.
Yeah.
I was reading an article yesterday. You and I had talked about it a little bit, David. The botanical building in Balboa Park is closed right now for renovation, and there is some controversy as to what they are going to do with it. And I haven't heard. I was looking yesterday to see if there was any definitive information out there on it, and there isn't. But what surprised me was the construction part of the renovation is due to be finished in December of 2023. So we're over a year out.
A year and a half. Yeah.
Almost a year and a half. And they've been working on it for a while now, but we're a year and a half out before the construction part of the restoration is done.
Wow.
They haven't even scheduled the installation of irrigation and landscaping inside the building yet.
And
just surprised me that they have, it's like, well, we haven't even started thinking about that yet.
Well, I think they have been thinking about that, but they're still not sure what the heck they're going to do.
What they're going to do with it.
Yeah. And if they turn it into a commercial venue versus the botanical wonder that it has been, that could create some,
no need for irrigation,
or less need for irrigation.
Right. I did see that they said a lot of the plant material that was in the building was dug up and relocated to other areas of the park. I don't know where. And then some of the bigger specimen plants were relocated to an offsite facility to hold on to them until they're ready to go back in again. So some of the specimen plants that were in there, it sounds like hopefully we'll go back in again. Because there was some neat stuff in there.
There was a lot of plants in there.
Yeah. So we shall see. But they did say that they're going to restore the facade of the building to more of what it looked like for the 1915 exposition. a bigger stucco facade to the front with windows.
The building's going to look really nice.
The building's going to look really good. Yeah.
And I'm guessing whatever they end up doing is going to be a nice botanical interest, but it's going to, if they're going to take any of that space and make it commercial venue space, the footprint hasn't gotten any larger. So the number of plants,
it's going to be dramatically reduced. Yeah, it would be dramatically reduced. So if that's something that interests you, I would highly recommend you keep an eye out on the news for information that's coming out on that.
What is the new hybrid name of the Friends of Balboa Park?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I just saw it yesterday. I just saw it yesterday, and I can't remember what it
was. But that would be an avenue if you want to participate through whatever that organization is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, plumeria cuttings. We've got quite a few in Poway. I would imagine they are in San Diego. I did not check. Sure. But people were picking them up.
Those come from
quite frequently
our pickup, our houseplant pickup in North County. And I don't think San Diego is getting plants from there. So maybe not. They may only be in Poway. I do have one sitting on my desk. I'm doing one of those tests
to see how long it takes for it to die.
To desiccate and die.
Well, how long I can let it. See, I'm going to see if it'll root on my desk under my keyboard.
Under the
elevated desk.
The dragon fruit rooted pretty well in your office. And I will take responsibility for that because I am the one that brought that cutting in there.
Thank you. I usually, whenever there's just something laying around, it's David who did it.
And well, typically.
He usually is.
Yeah. That wasn't you. That was me.
Thank you.
But it is amazing that dragon fruit cuttings got roots on it. They're about 6 inches long.
Did you eat the dragon fruit you harvested?
I put it on the break table. I gave one to Ivan and
I didn't
put it
see
on
it.
The
what variety?
I never, the red one that's, I don't know, it was dark red inside.
It was dark, really dark, but it wasn't very big.
Was it from Mars in the back?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, because we had Dark Star back there.
Might have been. But I didn't hear any reports on
it. Ivan said it was good.
Oh, okay, good.
So, yeah. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. And speaking of talking to people, we are going to talk to Farmer Roy, who's on the line right now. Good morning, Roy. How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. Thanks for getting up early and talking to us.
He's always up early.
Well, that's true.
This is late.
It's lunchtime.
If I came to work at this time, I'd never get anything done.
Well, there you go. There you go.
So I got a couple comments. I have a couple comments and a question.
Okay.
Uh-oh. So one, Ken, today is the 20th, so you get me at the Poway Walter Anderson to talk about brassicas and other fall vegetables. You lost a week there, buddy.
I did?
Yeah, you mentioned the 13th. You thought it was the 13th.
You know,
I could have sworn it was the 20th.
One way or another, and for whatever
reason. Well, I got the number wrong, but I did say it was today. So.
Yeah. Okay, I'm coming.
Okay.
I'm coming.
Good.
I'll be there at 9:30, and we're going to talk about maintaining your beautiful organic garden with brassicas and other fall vegetables. Don't let tomatoes suck the life out of you. And and get you to stop growing in your garden, because your fall garden is actually the most beautiful garden you can grow.
And a lot easier.
It's a lot easier and a lot quicker. Yep. Yeah. So I will see everybody there at 9:30 with bells on. Well, I'll be there a little earlier. And then this is a question for David, a trivia question.
Oh, come on.
This is for a burrito. If you can get it, I'll buy you a burrito. The Self-Realization Fellowship was showcased in what movie?
Oh, man, that's a good one.
That should be a question for Ken. Let him not know the answer rather
well,
than...
Well, I don't know the answer. And I was just there.
Jerry Lewis?
It was a rock and roll movie.
Okay, you've stumped the panel. So what was it?
Rainbow Bridge with Jimi Hendrix. Oh, the soundtrack is an awesome album.
I would have never gotten
it. It was about
that.
A bunch of hippies hanging out there smuggling drugs, and then it ends up in Hawaii.
Oh, okay. Well, Rainbow Bridge, you said?
Rainbow Bridge, fantastic movie.
Oh, I'll have to look that up.
If you like Jimi Hendrix, you got it. You got to watch it.
Oh, I will definitely take a look for it. That sounds very interesting. And we were talking about it last week on the show. Melanie and Blake and I had just gone to the meditation garden at the Self-Realization Fellowship, and we were commenting on how beautiful it is. And the location is incredible.
Yeah, they actually have a bunch of there's a bunch of land across the street from there that I don't know what they're doing with it now, but that was utilized for growing organic vegetables.
Oh,
right across the street.
I did not know that. I think there's a shopping center over there now.
Yeah, probably. I haven't been there about 5 years. But.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys later. Have a great day and take care.
Thank you. Thanks. You too, Roy.
That's right. See you in a bit.
We'll see you in a bit.
Well, according to the Farmer's Almanac, do you have another call?
Go ahead.
Well, according to the Farmer's Almanac, mild, drier than normal for the Southwest. But that was released on the 4th of August. So I'm still looking. I'm still worried about 10 inches of rain.
It was I thought it was supposed to be La Nina this
third for a rare third year, which would be dry in Southern California. Yeah. Right. Although sometimes with La Ninas, don't we get a really strong storm season early, and then nothing after that? Don't we have an early wet fall?
November, December.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Let's see. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go talk to Linda in San Diego. Good morning, Linda. How are you?
I'm good. I have a new patch of Diamondia that my landscape contractor put in,
mm-hmm.
and it's about 4 weeks old now. And I've watered according to what he said, but it looks like about half of it now is been kind of shriveled up, dried up, turning whitish, and I don't want it all to die back, and I'm wondering how to handle it.
Well, how often are you watering it?
The first 2 weeks was every other day, and then he got me down to three times a week.
And is it on a sprinkler system, or are you watering by hand? Or
twice a week it's on a sprinkler system with the whole area, and then I added a hand-watered day by myself.
Okay. Yeah, they do, the plant itself naturally does have that white color to the foliage on it.
There are some areas that are nice, bright green. I've had Diamondia before, and they look really, really healthy. There's, you know, parts of it, but yeah, the rest doesn't.
How much water does it get with the sprinklers?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got to be a water issue probably. But
it was, the automatic sprinkler was 4 minutes, three times a day for two or three times a week, or two times a week, and then I hand watered. But then he had me go do three times a day, 3 minutes. Then he went... It was three times for 4 minutes, and then he had me skip the middle one, so it's three times twice, 3 minutes twice, and then I'm hand watering about the same for that.
Is it staying soaking wet there, or
not really? It looks, it's very black soil. He put good topsoil in with manure stuff and all, so it's a little hard to tell, but it's said it's retaining the water pretty well.
If part of it looks good and part of it doesn't,
yeah,
I would go sit down out there and spend the day looking for slight differences, something that could be causing is a little where the patterns are, and that should help you to determine whether it's probably water, and is it too much or too little? And it could be both, depending on how the sprinklers are casting over this area and where shadows might come across it. But if you're having both success and failure in the same thing, I would sit out there and watch the water when it happens. I would look at shadow patterns as they happen and look at heat from sidewalk, pathways, things like that, that might be compounding a water issue and causing the fluctuations there.
You can also check the efficiency of the sprinkler system by going and buying the kind of the squat clear plastic cocktail glasses, the disposable ones, and set them up in a grid pattern across the area, maybe about 2 to 3 feet apart, and especially in the areas where you see the changes, run the sprinklers through a normal cycle, and it doesn't really matter how long that cycle is, but once you run it, go out and take a look, and if the areas that are not looking good have less water in them than the areas that are looking good, then that could be the problem there, that the sprinklers aren't getting to those areas. If the areas that are not looking good have more water in the cups than the areas that are looking good, then it could be that area is getting too much water from the sprinkler system. But that's a very simple and easy way to check the efficiency coverage, coverage of your sprinkler system. Ideally, with a well-designed system that's operating properly, you put that grid of cups out there and run it. Every cup is going to have virtually the same amount of water in it.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's good. Will it help if I stick my finger down into the soil and test for moisture that way too?
That does not hurt. Yeah, you can always do that as well.
It's not a big patch.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We'll do. So you think it's just the watering?
Typically, well, it's the watering.
Most likely.
And the good news is, Diamondia is a pretty tough plant. So once you figure out what's going on, I don't think you're going to have a problem getting it back on track.
And it'll spread and fill in all those areas that are damaged.
Bad spots. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you.
You're welcome, Linda. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Goodbye now. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You know what I saw? I was out walking around the store yesterday and saw a couple of things that were really interesting. We have peach-colored ginger. Did you see those?
Yes.
They look like Kahili ginger.
Somebody bought a couple of them yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, they look like Kahili ginger, but it's
peach?
But it's peach-colored.
Just the regular talls?
Yeah.
Okay.
With a big flower head. Yeah. A nice fragrance to them too.
Interesting.
And the other one that caught my eye was the beautiful Rotheca myracoides.
Easy for you to say.
Exactly. Yeah. Rotheca.
What was it? What is it?
It's Clarodendron Nugendens.
Oh, they changed the name.
They changed the name. I don't know.
Well,
sometimes they'll change part of the name, but they won't change the whole name. They changed the whole name.
Which Clarodendron? Which
Nugendens?
It's a little, but yeah,
it's a little blue one.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful plant. We had some 15-gallon patio trees out there. That's what caught my attention, and I'm looking at saw the label, and I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
and then I'm looking at the flower, and I'm like, I know what that is.
Exactly.
But yeah, I was kind of surprised.
They don't really tell us when they change names sometimes.
No. You would think they would.
Right.
It's usually when the name change comes in, it comes in as we get it in the store and
it's a good point,
it's already changed.
And that's also called a butterfly bush.
Yes.
Which is different than.
Yeah.
Correct.
Which is different than buddleia.
That is the problem a lot of times with the common names, as we've talked about.
Not a lot of times, quite often.
Yeah,
always.
Yeah, common names in San Diego are different than common names in New York or whatever.
Other areas.
Or in Kenya, where this bush comes from.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. Derek, stay on the line. We're talking to you as soon as we come back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman, and we are going back to the phones. We're going to talk to Derek out in Oklahoma. Good morning, Derek. How are you?
Doing fine. Good morning. How you doing there?
Doing well. Thanks for listening. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm calling there. I've got a couple of trees that I planted just about a year and a half ago, and they came out, and they were about 5 foot tall or so. So they did real well all last year, made it through last summer, last winter. And then this year, the leaves were just starting to turn brown, kind of dying out. There was a lot of they actually gained height. They looked like they were doing real well, but now my leaves were all turned brown, starting to fall off. I do see new growth, but I didn't know if I'm doing something wrong out there or what I need to do to kind of get them looking healthy. I have a second one, and I'm not sure what species avocado they sold me, like a pear. But it's doing okay, but it's not dying out, but the leaves are kind of cupped.
If the leaves are cupped, it's probably not getting enough water. The foliage will start to roll up if they start to get to on the dry side. So you might increase the water or increase the frequency of the water that you're giving them.
As
they get bigger, and then with the weather being hot too, mulching will help as well.
You know, my neighbor's trees that I've been using as my harbinger of why I started watering my avocado more, and it is putting out a lot of new growth, but I just noticed their trees this last week, the tops were burned. So they've been growing really well. They've been getting enough water, but this last couple of weeks, it's been too hot and too dry, and the regular water they were getting, either they missed a cycle or the regular water just wasn't enough and they needed a little bit more, which is what I had to do for my young avocado tree to get it to push out new growth. And it's pushed out a ton because I'm watering it twice a day, multiple times in the morning before I leave, in the afternoon when I get back. And
how frequently during a week? What, once a week?
Every day.
It's a new tree.
It's a new tree.
And I don't know how often are you watering your tree?
So I've been doing once a week also. Right. And what I'll do is I'll soak it real well, and then I'll go hit other things, and I'll come back to her after it soaks in, and then I'll hit it one more time. And then I've been doing it once a week, but I just listening to what you said on increasing watering. When I first put them in, I was watering probably about every other day. So I was watering more, but then when I saw this, these dead leaves, drying up and everything, I did increase water, but I didn't know if I had some sort of some bug or something that was getting in there. But then I saw this new growth, so I was kind of confused.
Yeah, probably water. If you're doing it once a week, you might want to change that cycle a little bit, maybe every fifth day or sixth day, kind of add a couple cycles during the month. And increase that basin as that tree matures. Make sure doing the same thing, the same basin that the tree was 2 years ago is not as
the roots
efficient
are going to grow out
as moving it out.
Okay, all right. I'll start with that. I didn't know. Is there anything? Do those things need fertilizer of any type? Or summer? I know summer, I guess, is not a good time to do that. Or in the heat. Or
go ahead.
You can do it right now. It's growing.
Absolutely.
And if you haven't fed it for a while, do it. Just make sure you don't feed when it's water dry, well before you feed, so that the soil isn't dry.
Yeah, and any good citrus and avocado food would work. The one that we typically recommend is the Grow Power citrus and avocado food. The humic acid that's in that helps build up the soil. And also, if you haven't done it. As they drop their foliage, which they will do naturally, just leave it there. Oh. And they're self-mulching. They leave the foliage down on the ground, and that will help keep the moisture down in the soil as well.
Okay. Well, I'll do both. I'll increase water and see if I get some fertilizer in there and see if we can turn it around. But I appreciate it.
Okay. Good luck. It sounds like you'll be able to get it back on track. Have a great weekend.
All right, great. Do the same. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.
I'm still looking, and I'm still not finding it.
What was your big smile at me for that song, David?
Because it's so meaningful to you, and I'm guessing you are extra radiant during that song.
That's why. A particularly special song for Capri.
Not with me.
No, it's not. I always smile when it comes on. No, not with you.
I know. So I just wanted everybody to know that. Okay.
That's quite the smile.
George, do you want to briefly tell people about the community tree rebate from SDG&E?
Yeah, this week's Wednesday Wisdom was about the San Diego Gas and Electric has a community tree rebate program for residential customers in specific zip codes. So you have to go to their website.
Yeah.
It's not all of San Diego County, but it enables qualifying residential customers throughout their region to put trees in that they give you a rebate for, up to $35 for trees and shrubs and some small plants.
And specific trees.
Very specific trees and plants, but it's actually a pretty robust list. I mean, there's a lot of plants on there, a lot more than you would think.
Yeah, there's
including some fruit trees, but the fruit trees are the only one that's limited. You can only get two.
You can only get two fruit trees per property.
And these are all in 1 and 5 gallon containers. So if you're interested, just go to our Facebook page and we have the link there for you.
What are the fruit trees?
Yeah, it's sdge.com/tree-rebate.
The fruit trees are apples, apricots, cherries, figs, guava, loquat, nectarine, peaches, plums, and pomegranates. And if
that's
you're trying
lot.
To save water, the pomegranates and figs are your best choices.
I was going to say, I thought your memory was pretty good there, but I see you're just reading it off of your laptop.
most of those I remember because I keep looking going, do we want to put a couple trees? Because we're in a qualifying zip code.
You are.
Unlike you.
I am not.
I am in a qualifying zip code.
Right. And Capri and I were just talking about putting a few more fig trees.
Do you think this has anything to do with tree equity?
It does actually. If you read some of throughout the region, trees and other plant species to help provide direct environmental health, and economic benefits.
Excellent. Hmm. Well, I'm gonna get a couple of trees. I don't have enough fruit trees.
It expires in October, so you have to have it done. All your paper, you have to have your receipt from October, and you have to get it turned in and finished by 11/15/2022 before the rains
come. Oh, I like deadlines. Okay. The 10 inches is going to wash all of our trees away.
For the plants on the smaller side, narrowleaf milkweed and woolly pod milkweed are in there. So if you want to increase your butterfly, your monarch habitat, that's a good way to do that.
With the native species?
With the native species, yeah. Which we still have a fairly good selection of them available. As a matter of fact, I think we had some of the narrowleaf milkweed and the Asclepias speciosa in 4-inch pots.
We do. They were there yesterday.
Which is unusual.
Yeah.
We don't see that all that often.
But their list for SDG&E actually includes quite a number of California native plants as well. Toyans and hollyleaf cherries, etc.
I saw Torrey Pine was on there too.
For coastal. Yeah, you have to be a coastal zip code to get the Torrey Pine rebate.
Because those never get too big to get into the power lines, do they? That'd be perfect for them.
Yeah, they're fine.
No, that would never be a problem.
I didn't even consider getting non-fruiting trees.
I know.
But there's no reason not to get a few gallons since I'm paying for it, right?
You are. Somewhere on your bill when it goes through everything, you know, fees, this tax, at the bottom it says tree rebate program fee.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Garden classes today, August 20th.
Make sure you get the dates right.
Exactly. August 20th, 9:00 in San Diego. It's Water Saving Techniques with James. And at 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be Brassicas and Other Fall Vegetables with Farmer Roy, who we talked to just earlier in the show. And next weekend, August 27th, in San Diego, it's going to be Fall Vegetables with Josh. And in Poway, it's going to be Vegetable Seed Saving with Adams. So both of those should be.
I'm going to pay attention to the vegetable seed saving class because I've always used the method of just let them rot on the ground.
They'll fall.
And I don't know if that's what he's going to be teaching or not.
I think
not.
It's going to be actually more of a collection process where you actually take them and maybe label them and such and not just see what comes up.
Oh, okay. Well, then that would be a timely tip. And I'm going to make time for me to watch that.
And if you want to stop by the Poway store, you can see our second corpse flower that we have managed not to kill.
Corpse flower plant.
Yes. It is not flowering. It is in the vegetative growth state at this point in time, which is still pretty impressive. And the other one still hasn't gone dormant yet. So
it should be later this fall. It should be starting to soften up and crumble to the ground.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with another hour next Saturday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.